think I hit a president. The Pied Piper of the TV screen. It's gonna make it simple. And he's got it all mapped out and illustrated with cartoons. Too hard for clever folks to understand. Yeah, them are used to words like ideology, but they say it's not the issue. Ideology, they're not talking about right or left. They're talking about.
Today, we're just starting the show right out of the pre-show music because the song just fits the day so perfectly. Welcome to it. I'm Nicole Sandler here at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. That was Joe Jackson in a song called Right and Wrong, one that I play an awful lot because it's not about the right and left. It's about right and wrong. And that's what we're seeing playing out in real time in front of us. And I got to tell you, as right and wrong become so starkly apparent, the right and left lines are blurred. I'm reading so much stuff and hearing things from people who are politically on the right who are doing the right thing. And I'm seeing a lot of people on the right, doing the wrong thing. Now, people on the left are also doing the right thing. So what can I tell you? I want to start with a clip from Nicole Wallace. I think this was from Morning Joe this morning, and she, you know, she was worked in on the McCain campaign doing communications, and she's outraged.
If they don't resign en masse this morning, they're forever tainted with the stench of what he did yesterday. And the ship has long sailed where any one of them can justify to outside audiences that they stay because the threats to our nation are so grave. You and I both know a lot of people with that rationale who make the case that if you saw what I saw, if you appreciate that I know what I'm doing, you'd understand the compromise that I make in terms of his moral and ethical lapses. And I guess that was one thing when he was simply talking about grabbing women between the legs, or when he was blowing up all the norms of sort of the dignity of the office of the presidency. But he's now given safe harbor to Nazis, to white supremacists. You know, what he's done now is something you can't put back in the toothpaste tube. And he has now stained all of the good and decent people, many of whom are there for the right reasons. So I think they're past the point where they get out without doing any harm to their personal reputations. And I think that you know, what do Republicans do? They never do anything. They tweet their outrage 140 characters at a time, and then they make up some baloney about, well, tax reform would be good. But, you know, we're so far beyond that. He's so disgraced, not just the Republican Party, but the country. People with kids can't watch TV with their kids anymore. I was on a JetBlue plane. My son said, Mommy, why'd they drive into a crowd full of people? And I said, sometimes good guys get hurt fighting the villains. There are not two sides in this. They're hideous, hateful enemies of America, enemies of freedom. And there were people exercising their free speech. But he's a disgrace.
He is a disgrace. And you go, girl. Nicole Wallace. I'll tell you, I didn't used to care for her. And yes, David just reminded me she also worked in the Bush White House. I think she was communications director in the W White House. But she, you know, was also on the McCain Palin campaign. And I'll even forgive her for that, since at least we didn't have Palin foisted upon us. But now we've got Trump. And I'll tell you, this situation that we're in is making me a fan of some conservative folks who heretofore I never would have given the time of day. I know I shared a column with you a week or two ago by Jennifer Rubin. She writes the, I think it's the Right Way blog at the Washington Post, and she did it again. I may skip over a couple of paragraphs here and there, but let me share this with you because it's so good. From today's Washington Post, the headline reads, Republicans cut the outrage. It's time to disown Trump. And her recommendations are spot on. She writes, the party of Lincoln is now the party of Robert E. Lee, Jefferson Davis, and Southern slave owners who decided to kill fellow Americans so that they could keep men, women, and children enslaved. The Republican Party, in other words, has obliterated its entire historical legacy and become the party of the enemies of Lincoln. And let's be clear, Republicans cannot say, that's not us, that's just President Trump. They supported him, they elected him, they defended him, and they gave him the aura of a normal presidency. They cannot be the party of Lincoln and be the party of Trump. In that vein, we can dispense with Republicans' quote, outrage, frustration, anger, and all the other meaningless expressions of internal sentiment. Unless and until they are prepared to do something, not just send tweets to politically disown Trump, the party is toast, and none of its members should be elected or reelected. How would they do this? First, elected officials must deny Trump the audience he so desperately craves. They need not appear with him nor invite him to the Hill. The State of the Union can be delivered from the White House or in writing. He would besmirch the House by appearing there. Lawmakers and state officials should not troop to the White House for photo ops. They can communicate with the White House by phone or through aides. In short, Trump must be shunned and ostracized. He is not fit for polite company, let alone the presidency. He has demolished the rules of civilized behavior and therefore should enjoy none of the ceremonial niceties that are extended to normal presidents. Second, beyond resolutions condemning Trump's remarks, every member of Congress should do his or her utmost to remove the neo-Nazi iconography in their districts and states. Neo-Nazis have claimed the Confederacy is their own and therefore have reminded the rest of us that the Confederate statues are not tributes to patriotism, gallantry, or liberty, but to treason, inhumanity, and slavery. That's why neo-Nazis identify with these symbols of the Old South. That is why they have no place in a democratic society built on the principle that all men are created equal. State and local officials need to carefully examine school curriculum to make sure students are not confused as to the heroes and the villains in the Civil War. Every student should learn to spot and debunk the lost cause propaganda. Perhaps April 9th should be a national holiday commemorating the Confederacy's surrender and the magnanimity displayed by President Abraham Lincoln and U.S. generals toward their defeated foes. Third, writes Jennifer Rubin, cabinet members, sub-cabinet members, staffers, and outside participants on councils, commissions, and committees must leave the administration. And we saw some of this already happening today. We'll get to that in a minute. She continues, it's not enough, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, to look on with a pained expression as the president declares that some of the white nationalists were, quote, very fine folks. He deceived you and others as to what he would say, and he has shown himself unfit. You cannot serve in the administration of a neo-Nazi sympathizer. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, why stay in an administration in which you command so little respect, in which you must lend your own reputation to a disgraceful president? And in parentheses, she adds, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis should remain a final backstop to prevent a military disaster. Fourth, Republicans must treat the president as they would someone not of their own party, for he is not, to repeat, the party of Lincoln. If Hillary Clinton refused to release her tax returns, hired unqualified relatives, kept business ventures that posed a conflict of interest, and violated the Constitution's Emoluments Clause, Republicans would commence hearings and pass legislation to put an end to all of it. It's long past the time that Trump should be permitted to escape the kind of inquiry Republicans would insist upon for any Democratic president. By refusing to do so, the GOP is saying, he's one of ours, he's a Republican, so we don't rock the boat. Fifth, now would be a fine time for formation of a third party, one that can, at the end of the Trump presidency, repeal and replace the GOP, the Free Republican Party, Appomattox Republicans. It cannot be said enough the Confederates were losers, or whatever ex-Republicans in the center-right call themselves, can endorse for office defectors from the GOP and reclaim Republicans who have disassociated themselves with the GOP thanks to Trump. Moderate Republican House members of the Tuesday Group, the New Centrist Project, dedicated to backing independent candidates, members of Stand Up Republic, founded by 2016 conservative independent presidential candidate Evan McMullen and his former running mate Mindy Finn, and others, have the chance to stake their claim as the true successors to the party of Lincoln. Those who have wrestled with a question as to whether the GOP could be reformed or whether it should be discarded in light of Trump's GOP takeover have their answer. If they cannot disgorge him, they must start over. She concludes, in sum, Republicans' words are insufficient and at this point, insufferable. When we look back at this time, the only thing people will ask is, what did you do? Republicans will need a better answer than, I was outraged and I gave tough quotes on background. Jennifer Rubin, who writes the Right Turn blog for the Washington Post, again, the second one of her columns I've read in, I don't know, a few weeks, and I'm a big fan of hers because she's making sense. At this point, I don't care what her politics are, and at some point, I'd love to get to know what her politics are and maybe, you know, debate them a little bit. Maybe we disagree on healthcare. I don't think she agreed with Trump's idea because Trump, you know what? He's not a Republican. He's not a conservative. He is a megalomaniac. He is a sociopath. He is everything that is wrong with this country. He is a white supremacist. You know, there was a great article in the New York Times today about all the Jews that are keeping quiet. Where the hell are they? You've got Gary Cohn, who stood there, you know, with his eyes down, just like John Kelly's were, and Steve Mnuchin. What have they sold their soul to the devil? And what about Jared Kushner? Really? But the question I want to ask you today, and the phone lines are open, by the way, 954-889-6410, or if you're on Skype, you can Skype into Nicole Sandler, is when she asks, what did you do? You know, on Friday, a day before all this happened on Saturday, well, actually started Friday night, I spoke to one of our listeners who goes by the name in the chat room of Osama number 5. Osama, if you're listening, call in because I would love an update from Charlottesville. He's there. And after we hung up and after the show ended, I realized that I said to him, please stay inside, because I was nervous for his safety, because I knew what was coming. This Unite the Right bullshit was not just a protest against the Robert E. Lee statue coming down from the park that is now called Emancipation Park, no longer Lee Park. They were looking for a fight. And if you don't think they were looking for a fight, hopefully you got to see this. If not, I'm going to embed it on my blog today along with the podcast. Vice News did, you know, they do the Vice nightly show on HBO. Well, they put it up, the episode that they did in Charlottesville, they put up on YouTube, and I will embed it on the blog where I post the podcast so you can see it. But they were embedded with this guy, Chris Cantwell, who was the one of the leaders of this whole event. It wasn't a protest. It was an event, right? Here's one clip from Chris Cantwell, so you know where they're coming from. They were not there to peacefully protest.
Obeying the law, we're doing everything that we're supposed to do, trying to express opinions, and the criminals are over there getting their way. And that is a foundational problem with our society, and whatever you think of my opinions, that's going to be something that puts you in danger.
Yeah, and that is because this city is run by Jewish communists and criminal niggers. That's exactly what it is.
Pardon the language.
We're the true nonviolent protesters.
I'm not even saying we're nonviolent. I'm saying that fucking we didn't aggress. We did not initiate force against anybody. We're not nonviolent. We'll fucking kill these people if we have to.
They came itching for a fight. They came armed to the teeth, knowing that there would be counter protesters there and just waiting for them, taunting them, spraying pepper spray. We saw all the video. But there was another guy with him who writes for the Daily Storm, by the way, which is their biggest online presence, I suppose, who was just kicked off of GoDaddy. They couldn't find a host. They wound up moving to a Russian server. And I just read on Twitter a few moments ago that they were kicked off of there, too. This is from a writer for the Daily Storm. Listen to what he had to say.
Well, for one thing, it means that we're showing to this parasitic class of anti-white vermin that this is our country. This country was built by our forefathers. It's sustained by us. It's going to remain our country. I believe, as you can see, we are stepping off the internet in a big way. For instance, last night at the Torch Walk, there were hundreds and hundreds of us. People realize they're not atomized individuals. They're part of a larger whole because we have been spreading our memes. We have been organizing on the internet. And so now they're coming out. And now, as you can see today, we greatly outnumbered the anti-white, anti-American filth. And at some point, we will have enough power that we will clear them from the streets forever. That which is degenerate in white countries will be removed. We're starting to slowly unveil a little bit of our power level. You ain't seen nothing yet.
You ain't seen nothing yet? This is who these people are. They're showing us who they are. The question, the answer is not to stay in. The answer is to... I don't know what the answer is, and that's what I'm asking you. 954-889-6410 is the number. Hi, who's this?
Mark, San Francisco.
Hey, Mark from San Francisco. I understand there was a march planned for somewhere up in your neck of the woods or one of their white supremacist rallies that I believe was canceled.
Well, as far as I know, it's supposed to be the 26th of this month. I don't know if it's canceled or not. It's still showing on the internet.
Oh boy. And so yeah, that's the question. What do you do? Do you go out and confront them? Do you say, not in my town, not in my country? Or do you keep yourself safe? Because this is a matter of life and death.
What I would like to see happen is I would like to see people not engage with them and let them just leave them alone and let them be by themselves and not in. They want this. They want to be on TV with a big ruckus.
Yep.
That's what the Republican Party wants. They want to show division and whites against blacks. And I think we should just ignore them and just leave them be. I don't know if that's going to happen. I have some fears here in this area, what kind of reception they're probably going to get. But I think all over the country, we should just ignore them.
Yeah, you know what? And it's not only whites against blacks, because there are a hell of a lot of whites who are out there with the counter protesters. I think it's, you know, it's good versus evil is what it is. And there's, you know, a lot of good white people. I hate that we're all painted with a broad brush at times. Unfortunately, on the other side, they are all white because that's their whole thing. But I get you. I think that, too, if we could just ignore them, you know, let them throw their little party and nobody show up, leave them alone, let them have their little protest and then go home. If nobody engages them, they have nobody to fight against. But
exactly. That's what I'm thinking too, Nicole. And what I should have just said minorities or, you know, basically freedom loving Americans,
yeah.
White and, you know, and ethnic. Against these totally white neo-Nazi, and they're all Republicans, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're all Republicans.
Yeah, but
that's what this party has been doing, has been using race and dividing this country. What we should do is demand, if the Republicans are really sincere about what they say, then they ought to get rid of Kris Kobach, who is denying minorities the right to vote. We should start putting demands on the Republican Party to show that they're not racist, to show that they care about minorities in this country. And we shouldn't just let them get away with their rhetoric that they're saying on the Twitter or whatever. Make them prove it.
Right, but that's the problem. How do you stand there while they're spewing this stuff, while they're, you know, claiming ownership of what's right, that this country is theirs? They want to take their country back. You know, that's what they always say. How do you just stand back and let them do that? That's the problem. To stand by and do nothing while they take over our streets. That's, you know, that's even a more difficult challenge than, you know, than going and engaging them.
I know it's really a tough call. I agree with you. You know, you could go either way with it. The problem is, my fear is you're going to get people from Oakland. You're going to get people from Richmond. You're going to get some really angry people here. And a lot of them, you know, minorities who are angry anyway, are going to come over here and we're going to have a big mess.
Yes.
That's my fear.
And again, that's what they want. Now, if the cops, now I can't totally blame the cops, because in all the reading I've done, of course, these white supremacists didn't follow the rules. They were supposed to enter the park from one side. The counter protesters were supposed to be from the other side. There was always supposed to be a line of police force in between, keeping them apart. But when you're talking about taking over a whole city, which is what their goal is, that's impossible to do. When they don't want to be separated, they want to instigate problems. You know, one of them said in that clip I just played, "We didn't throw a first punch or anything." Yeah, but they sure taunted enough, and I don't know that I believe that either. But they wanted an escalation. They wanted the violence. They wanted it to be on TV. They got exactly what they wanted.
And they did. And you know, the only thing we could hope for is in the future, when these happen, is that there's either National Guard or there's some law enforcement that's going to monitor this thing and not let it get out of hand and use tear gas, whatever they got to do to not let it escalate. And, you know, it needs to be monitored, not just with a few, law enforcement, but a lot.
Yes. Well, and that's got to be, you know, look, they picked Charlottesville, Virginia, probably for a reason, because it's a sleepy little, you know, peaceful hippie town, and the police weren't ready for it. And although we had a crazy caller yesterday, one thing he was right about is the people that called themselves the militia, they were armed to the teeth. And they were there with the crazies. But even just that much of a show of force, I think, intimidated the cops.
You know, Nicole, I don't know, when you saw that of them, you know, walking down the streets with their torches.
Yes.
That was a really scary, ugly picture of this country. I don't think I've seen anything as bad as that almost in my lifetime. It was so ugly. It was like watching Twilight Zone. You
yes,
know, it was
Nazi
really
Germany
scary.
All over again. And as someone, look, I've said it a million times, I'm an atheist Jew, but guess what? I'm still Jewish by heritage. I have family members who, you know, came through that. This is what my history is. I would not, you know, and to see that happening again, yes, I'm a Jewish American woman. And someone in the chat room just reminded me that they don't think of me as white because I'm Jewish. You got to watch. Did you see that Vice segment?
I don't think I did.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm going to embed it in the blog today. What you do is after the show, give me about an hour and it'll be posted. You go to NicoleSandler.com. In fact, right from the main page, you'll see the last two shows are posted right on that main page. You can click on the title. It'll take you there. I'm going to embed it. It's about a 20, 22 minute piece. You must watch it. Vice did an amazing job. And again, they have it up on YouTube and I will post it there. It will send chills down your spine, but it's something we all need to see so we know what the hell is going on out there.
You know, my grandfather fought in World War One.
Wow.
And there's a lot of us that have relatives or grandparents or fathers that fought for this country against mm-hmm. exactly what this movement, this alt-right movement, is trying to infiltrate in this country. It's really it's really disgusting and it's sad. It's really a sad day in this country. It really is.
It really is. Mark, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. And thanks for listening.
No problem. Thank you.
Take care. I'm going to play What's News in a moment. And it has a little bit of footage from that Vice video. I'd call it a documentary, but they do this show five nights a week. It is chilling. And again, the reason I'm playing it is because we need to know what we're up against. And I don't know the answer. Look, I know we can't sit back and let Trump get away with this stuff. I don't think we should sit back and let these people get away with it either. However, I don't know that confronting them on the streets with, you know, sticks and weapons is the way to do it either. There's no good answer to all this. I just fear things are going to get a whole lot worse before they get better. All right, we'll take a break. We'll do What's News, and we're going to come back with Juliana Forlano. You know, Michael Moore did a short run on Broadway of a show called Terms of My Surrender, and Juliana went to see it last week. It wrapped up last night, and, well, we'll talk about it with Juliana, all right? So stick around. I'm Nicole Sandler. It's the Progressive Voices Network and NicoleSandler.com.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
At an impromptu press conference at a Trump Tower event Tuesday afternoon that was supposed to be about infrastructure, the president defended his initial statements following Saturday's clash between white supremacists and counter-protesters in Charlottesville, Virginia, placing the blame on both sides.
Hey, Mr. President, are you putting what you're calling the alt-left and white supremacists on the same moral plane?
I'm not putting anybody on a moral plane. What I'm saying is this. You had a group on one side and you had a group on the other, and they came at each other with clubs, and it was vicious, and it was horrible, and it was a horrible thing to watch. But there is another side. There was a group on this side, you can call them the left, you've just called them the left, that came violently attacking the other group. So you can say what you want, but that's the way it is.
Both sides, sir. You said there was hatred, there was violence on both sides.
Well, I do think there's blame. Yes, I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it. And you don't have any doubt about it either. And if you reported it accurately, you would say
Trump was continuously asked about the differences between the two sides, something that appeared to make him angrier as the questioning continued.
But when you say the alt-right. Define alt-right to me. You define it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying, as
no,
Senator,
define it for me. Come on, let's go. Define
Senator
it for
McCain
me.
Defined them as the same group.
Okay, what about the alt-left that came charging at? Excuse me. What about the alt-left that came charging at the, as you say, the alt-right? Do they have any semblance of guilt? Let me ask you this. What about the fact they came charging, that they came charging with clubs in the hand, swinging clubs? Do they have any problem? I think they do.
Sorry,
so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that was a horrible, horrible day. Wait a minute. I'm not finished. I'm not finished, fake news. That was a horrible day.
The same level as the Nazis.
I will tell you something. I watched those very closely, much more closely than you people watched it. And you have you had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. And nobody wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. You had a group on the other side that came charging in without a permit, and they were very, very violent.
Do you think that what you call the alt-left is the same as neo-Nazis?
All of those people, excuse me, I've condemned neo-Nazis. I've condemned many different groups, but not all of those people were neo-Nazis, believe me. Not all of those people were white supremacists by any stretch. Those people were also there because they wanted to protest the taking down of a statue, Robert E. Lee. So, excuse me, and you take a look at some of the groups and you see, and you know it if you were honest reporters, which in many cases you're not, but many of those people were there to protest the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. So, this week it's Robert E. Lee. I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? And is it Thomas Jefferson the week after? You know, you really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop? But they were there to protest. Excuse me. You take a look the night before. They were there to protest the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee.
Let us repeat again what he just said.
Not all of those people were neo-Nazis, believe me.
Vice News had a reporter embedded with Chris Cantwell, one of the leaders of the march, who explained a bit of their rationale.
Obeying the law, we're doing everything that we're supposed to do, trying to express opinions. And the criminals are over there getting their way. And that is a foundational problem with our society. And whatever you think of my opinions, that's going to be something that puts you in danger.
Yeah, and that is because this city is run by Jewish communists and criminal niggers. That's exactly what it is.
And that's true. You're the true nonviolent protesters.
I'm not even saying we're nonviolent. I'm saying we didn't aggress. We did not initiate force against anybody. We're not nonviolent. We'll fucking kill these people if we have to.
Trump said that the torch-carrying march to the Robert E. Lee statue, the planned removal of which was ostensibly the reason for the gathering, was peaceful.
Sir, I'm sorry. I just didn't understand what you were saying. You were saying the press has treated white nationalists unfairly?
No.
I just didn't understand what you were saying.
No. There were people in that rally, and I looked the night before. If you look, they were people protesting very quietly the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. I'm sure in that group there were some bad ones. The following day it looked like they had some rough, bad people, neo-Nazis, white nationalists, whatever you want to call them. But you had a lot of people in that group that were there to innocently protest and very legally protest because, you know, I don't know if you know, they had a permit. The other group didn't have a permit. So I only tell you this. There are two sides to a story. I thought what took place was a horrible moment for our country. A horrible moment. But there are two sides to the country.
The chants say otherwise.
Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us! Jews will not replace us!
In case you couldn't make out what they're saying, they're the Nazi chants, Jews will not replace us, and blood and soil. And that's some of what's sadly news right now. I'm Nicole Sandler of NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you. Live from New York, it's Juliana Furlano, star of Absurdity Today. What's that? Oh, not Absurdity Today? that is to say, Juliana Furlano of WBAI. No, not that one either. Juliana Furlano of, this one says Act TV.
Yes.
Oh, forget it. Let's just say Nicole Sandler brings you Juliana Furlano. Her name hasn't changed, has it?
No. She's Mama Furlano now. Hey, honey.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, you know, things are scary. You know, I monitor during What's News because it's a longer segment. I can monitor. Yeah. We have two chat rooms going during the show. So I can peek into both of them because during the rest of the show, I really can't. You know, I'm doing a radio show. And the whole North Korea thing, people are like, nothing's going to happen. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here just freaking out. Oh, my God, we're going to have a nuclear war. We're going to have a nuclear war. But this, people are scared.
Oh, yeah.
I'm scared.
You know, I don't know. I it's scary, but I'm not scared, if that makes any sense, because then the terrorists win.
Yeah.
And, you know, as Michael Moore said in his show the other day that I went to go see.
Yes.
And also, as no one has been saying on the news, there weren't that many white supremacists. 1,000 white supremacists that came from all over the country. There's more of us than there are of them.
A lot more. There's a lot more of us. Right. Yeah. They were more heavily armed, but there are a lot more. We'll get back to this, but you brought up Michael Moore, and that was the reason I really asked you to come on the show in the first place, because you tweeted something out. You went to see Michael Moore on Broadway. His show was called The Terms of My Surrender, right?
Yeah. It was, I got to say, it was great. I really enjoyed it. It's not a secret that I'm a big Michael Moore fan. So, when they say he's preaching to the choir, well, the choir needs a little preaching to right now.
Yeah.
We need a little singing and we need a little preaching. We're not obviously like melting snowflakes like they'd all have you believe. But the fact is, when I walked in there, I knew that any person in that theater was likely to be someone that I would have something in common with. And I felt, you know, do you remember how the U.S. felt, I don't know, maybe before Trump, but before, I don't know. I don't want to say we're going back to some good old days, but I do remember a time where I wasn't always afraid that a white nationalist was about to come out of anywhere and club me.
Right.
And, the last year I went to Canada for a little while, and the minute we crossed the border, I was like, what's that? What's that feeling I'm feeling? Is that peace? Is that the lack of enormous amounts of guns in the street and hate? Is that what that is? Like, it's palpable in the air that it wasn't there. And that's how I felt inside the theater with Michael Moore. And then, you know, I get home and I read all of these reviews. I mean, I don't know what happened, but it was like, did places just say, hey, do we have a right winger to go look at Michael Moore's show and then shit on it, because that's what I was reading, and these people just completely missed the point of what the show was.
I didn't see his last movie, which was just him on a stage. Was it basically the play version of the movie that he put out?
Last movie I saw of his was the one where he went to
Where to Invade Next?
Yeah, Where to Invade Next.
Me too. Me too, which was great. Where he went around the world trying to find out the great ideas that we could take from other countries, like, you know, healthcare and family leave and things like that. But he did something like what I think the play was, where it was him on a stage talking about, he was warning people that Trump was going to win. So now, obviously, this is after the fact, and Trump won.
Yeah. So this piece was really kind of it's, you know, as one person shows are, it was autobiographical. And then they're attacking him for being like, he's using too many stories from his own life. I'm like, that's what a one person show is. Uh-huh. Hello. why don't you try looking up some definitions in the...
Right.
In a dictionary before you start yelling. Anyway, so he was criticized for that, but basically he told stories of how he became the Michael Moore that we know. And some of it was sort of by accident. Some of it was being kind of a smart ass and just caring about people. Some of it was taking tips, following, you know, some activism that his father did, and some of it was basically just growing up in a working class town and seeing how they were kind of getting screwed. And he also covered the Flint crisis.
Mm. Well, he's from Flint,
the most powerful part of how if we continue to hire business people whose priority is to cut the bottom line and make the wealthy people at the top richer to do our government work, which is supposed to be to protect the people, the masses of people, supposed to be, I mind you, supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
We're going to get polluted water like we have in Flint. We're going to get children, 10,000 children with brain damage like we have in Flint. I mean, he put up the blurred photos of the young people, not mentioning the adults. I mean, he did mention the adults, but just 10,000 kids under the age of six poisoned.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I didn't know it was that much. And it was just really, it was both, it was what good Broadway should be. It was powerful. It was disturbing. And it was sort of a call to action. And the big reminder was there's more of us than there are of them, and that we need to remember that. All of this scary stuff we're seeing on TV is, you know, it only takes one of them to plow down, you know, us. But there are so many more of us, and that if we all kind of stand together in unity, that's very powerful.
Well, there are so many more of us, but here's the cautionary tale that goes along with that. 3 million more people voted for Hillary Clinton than voted for Dump. So, and we're still stuck with him as president. There are more of us than there are of the white supremacists, but they came out, you know, much more heavily armed and looking for a fight. You know, so there may be more of us, but
from a psychology perspective, it's really shocking what that guy said. He's like, we're willing to kill those people. Isn't that enough to get like the FBI on your ass to be like, homegrown terrorist? Like, shouldn't all
you
of these people be arrested for, I don't know what the statute would be, but like about to do some harm?
Well,
because they're like, we're ready to murder. And then one of them did murder someone.
Well, hate crimes, except, you know, the Trump administration is pulling back on the hate crimes legislation. There's money that's being pulled out of it. And it was I guess the text of the measure to pull the money away from this hate crimes research was written by Sebastian Gorka's sister, who is also somehow infiltrated the administration. Again, there are more of us, but they're in power.
Yeah, I know. Well, we are kind of in trouble that way. I don't know, you know, if I had the answer, someone would be paying me a better salary, I would think.
Tell me about it. Oh my God.
I just kind of feel like, you know, it's so important for us to stay focused and centered in our fight and not get thrown off. And I actually think that, you know, you can't be more plain out there than saying, hey, these Nazis aren't so bad, but boy, those unarmed liberals with their flowers and their peace and love, they are there equally to blame because they didn't have a permit. You know, I think if this doesn't unveil him to maybe people who are willing to see that this might be something not so great, I don't know what will.
I don't know either. I just read before you came on this editorial from Jennifer Rubin, who writes, she's a conservative blogger at The Washington Post. And I've become a big fan of hers because she makes so much sense. And she's saying, you know, everybody in that administration needs to walk. They need to quit.
Yeah,
Congress needs to shun him. And they do. And they can do that, but they won't.
Yes.
And you know, the old saying, if not now, when? If not this, then
hello?
What?
Yeah,
if not exactly. This, then what's going to get them to act and to do anything? I mean, how much worse does it have to get?
Yes. I agree with you.
So,
I agree with you
100%. Juliana Forlano, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
You live in Brooklyn.
I do.
So if you heard that there was going to be one of these white supremacist marches in Park Slope, and you know that they're there to make a scene, what do you do?
Well,
it's a hard one, right?
That's a good question. I mean, given the fact that we have Mayor de Blasio, who might send some peacekeeping police force.
Oh, they would have to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in other places, I'm reading some historical literature that's basically talking about how when black folks' homes would catch fire, the firemen would come and then they'd just stand there until it would burn all the way down to the ground.
God.
And, you know, not the most uplifting piece of literature I've ever read.
No.
But, you know, in some places, you can't really trust that the police are not also going to fudge the boundaries and not keep the peace, because there are white supremacist police.
Do you think that's what happened in Charlottesville?
Well, I don't know. I can't say, you know,
right.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible. I can't say. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. See, I didn't even consider
the question
that.
Is, where were the police when the African-American special education teacher was being beaten? The parking lot was right next to the police department where he was being beaten.
Wow.
So
wow.
Where was the police department?
Yeah,
he was not by the police. He was saved by other black people coming and saying, "Hey, get off him." And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, a photographer who got a lot of the pictures of that, Zach Roberts, is an old friendly acquaintance. And I think he's going to be on the show tomorrow.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm glad he doesn't hurt. And I hope I didn't hear anything about the special ed teacher who was beaten. I hope he's...
Yeah, they're looking, you know, hoping to raise money for medical bills. And they still have not. I saw a picture that was put out on Twitter today of the guy who allegedly did most of the damage that they still have not identified. That's something that's going on, is they're trying to out these people on Twitter, posting pictures of the ones who were, you know, doing the beating and identifying them. I know a few people have already been fired from their jobs, but a few people have also been misidentified. So there's always that danger.
Well, I think, you know, if you're misidentified and then that you're like, wait a minute, it wasn't me. And then everything, you know, is fine after that. That's okay. But if law enforcement is not going to do their job, it's kind of, I mean, I'm not suggesting that we do anything that's, you know, I'm not suggesting we take the law into our own hands. But I mean, if you hire someone who's a white supremacist and then they work at your place.
Oh,
and
I'd fire his ass.
You know, you find out.
Right.
That's not great.
Here in Florida, you can be fired for being gay. I can fire your ass for being a white supremacist. That's for sure.
It's just not okay what I'm saying. I took a lot of kind of comedic joy in how Donald Trump was. I'm hoping the alt-left idea catches on. Because I felt like, you know, well, if the alt-right is a hate group, then the alt-left is a love group. So sign me up. I'm in.
Okay. But here's the thing. First of all, I hate the term alt-right because it normalizes them.
It normalizes the regular right.
No, it normalizes white supremacists, the Ku Klux Klan, and Nazis. That's who they are. And they gave themselves this, you know, kitschy little name, the alt-right. Oh, that's a nice way to describe us without having to say white supremacist or Nazi. Right. So I say call them what they are. Forget this. I won't use the term alt-right because that's what they want to be called. Now, Donald Trump out of the blue came up with alt-left as a way. And he's trying to, you know, he's trying to put anarchists in there. And, you know, look, everybody who's fighting against fascism is not necessarily a peace love lefty hippie. There is no such thing as alt-left. We didn't want that name. It's not a thing. Donald Trump made it up as a pejorative. So no, we don't want that.
I feel like I could take that back. Sort of like Obamacare said, yeah, well, I'll take Obamacare. They're calling it Obamacare, like to try
Obamacare's
to make it less than what it is. And he took back the night by
that's true. That's true. But I don't want to give their alt-right any more credence.
Called Nazis, not alt-right.
Exactly, because that's what they are.
That's what they are.
Yeah, the reason I asked what you would do is because I have, you know, on Friday.
Once there was once I was here in Park Slope and there were some Nazis marching down from the synagogue.
Synagogue
up there, up the street from where I used to live. And I saw them and I just knew they weren't right. And I knew something wasn't right. And It didn't dawn on me till later that they were there to, I don't know what, but I guess they did some protesting in front of one of the synagogues. I'm just not used to seeing that around here. There are other things that I see, but not that in Brooklyn. I mean,
yeah,
it's just not.
No,
I don't see it. And
nor should you, but they're feeling emboldened to come out from, you know, from behind their sheets and wave their flags. I mean, to see people walking, carrying those torches and carrying Nazi flags just sent a chill down my spine.
Yes. Yes. Now, you said there's something happening where you are.
I completely lost my train.
Oh, you said that in Florida there was going to be some sort of event or something.
No,
maybe I misheard. I don't know.
Yeah,
could
I
be.
Think I know I started to say something and then you jumped in with
exciting.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, I really do think I would rather have my Nazis wearing their flags than hiding. It's better overt than it is covert.
Right, right.
I do think knowing who's who, although it is scary. I spent some time in, you know, a not so blue state recently, and being Italian and looking Jewish, it was, you know, it was what all our African American and brown skin brothers and sisters have felt for decades and years. And I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. It's just, I think we're all maybe in shock that it's so right in our face right now that the president of the United States.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, hey,
that's the thing.
Nazis.
Did you watch his press conference yesterday?
I did.
You know,
yeah.
I'm sitting here finishing up the show because I have some post-production work. The show ends and then I've got to post the podcast and all that. And I opened up Twitter and I started seeing all these things he's saying. And I'm like, what? And I ran in the living room and turned on the TV and my jaw dropped. I could not believe what I was seeing. The man is totally off his rocker. He really is not fit for the presidency. And that's the other thing that frightens me is how do we get through the next 3.5 years?
Yeah, that is a good question. And hopefully only 3.5 years at the very maximum outside chance. I don't know. It's, you know, it's not a democracy anymore. So, I mean, if they continue to steal elections, if you're having Zach Roberts on, you must obviously cover Greg Palast's work on voter disenfranchising and the gerrymandering and the Russian hacking. I mean, there's 100 different ways they're trying to dismantle our democracy, including brainwashing us by buying up all the media.
Well, that's the other thing.
It's interesting. It's interesting times we live in. That's for sure.
Yes.
And I'm trying to stay out of fear myself. You know, I'm just trying to stay like, okay, what's my next right action? What can I do? What can I do? And what should I do? And what am I being called to do? Because, as a friend of mine said, if you feel called to take an action, you know, you should take that action.
Meaning
protest action.
Right.
And
that's why I asked, what do you do if they show up, you know, in your neck of the woods? On Friday, I think this is what I was about to say. On Friday, we had a caller to the show who's a regular in the chat room who lives in Charlottesville. And he called in to talk about what was, you know, being planned, what they knew this was happening. And my initial instinct was to tell him, stay safe, stay inside, don't go out. And then all weekend long, I'm thinking, you know, would I do that? If I knew they were coming to my neighborhood, would I stay in and cower in the corner or would I get out there knowing that the best thing to do is ignore them? If they got no attention at all, they just marched and nobody paid them any attention, they'd go home and they'd be defeated. What they want is a fight. They want us to come out and fight with them. But then that's doing nothing. And in a sense, that's almost as bad. So I don't know. And even knowing that this young woman died, Heather Heiler, you know, would I risk that? And at this point, knowing what's transpired in the last few days, I just might. Hey, Juliana, we've got someone who keeps calling in. So let's see who it is. Hi, who is this from the 304 area code?
Hello.
Hi, you're on with Juliana Forlano and Nicole Sandler.
Hi there.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Okay.
We're all right.
So what's on your mind?
My name is Jim. I'm in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. And I've been listening to some of the comments made in your show. They're really made by some very good people. And even though, you know, it's been said that there are more of us than them, you got to have to go back to Germany in the 30s.
Yeah.
You know, at their best, the Nazis only got 37.4% mm-hmm. of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. it's amazing how minorities like that can just overwhelm due to certain circumstances that overwhelmed Germany at that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
a very good point. That's a very good point. And, I mean, as Nicole said, if not now, when? And I think people who live in the districts of the Paul Ryans, and you said you're in West Virginia, so I'm assuming that your elections are, not so...
That's Trump country.
Yeah, it's Trump country.
I'm just from Washington, so I mean, you know, it's near Harper's Ferry.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's not typical West Virginia.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, when I heard that guy talk about killing and this, that, and the other, that man, what he committed legally is called verbal battery.
Right.
Yes.
You know, you just can't go around saying that to people, because you could be arrested and handcuffed and taken out and put in jail for that.
Well, hopefully he will be. I mean, he made those threats on television. That's in that clip was from that Vice program. So
I just saw it on MSNBC.
Uh huh.
And I'll say this, and I'll get off here. If you would have told me a year ago today that Donald Trump would be president of the United States, I would have said, you are crazy.
Yeah.
But as summer went into fall, I began to realize this guy's going to win.
We're in trouble. Yep. Yep.
And I told a friend about it. I said, you voted for him. And I said, I can promise you this. If he's won, he will not finish his term.
So I hope not.
I hope not, too. What, do you think he'll quit? You think he'll be impeached?
I just hope all that
stuff's going
to
come out.
There could be a number of factors. I mean, you know, he's already complained about not being able to do the job that he used to do. And you know, he just can't do what he's doing and get away with it. I mean, they're going to unload him, or he's going to unload himself.
I hope so.
This guy, look at him. He's 70 years old. He's not in the very best of health. You can tell that.
No.
His orange complexion is starting to actually fade to gray. I noticed.
Yeah.
I was thinking, geez, you know, they usually put up pictures of the presidents before and after with their hair, you know, regular color and then grayed out. Well, his skin is orange color and now it's grayed out.
Just right. And his hair is just Aryan yellow.
You know, he's
a dangerous person.
Yes, he is.
And we'll be lucky if we can get out of this. I'm literally just writing a piece about his EPA head, Scott Pruitt, and all the actions he's trying to take in secret to make all the world like Flint.
Oh, God.
You know, with poisoned water. And, yeah, it's just terrifying. But I am trying to stay out of being afraid, because I can't function if I'm afraid.
I do think the media is
trying to, you know, they're showing clips and they're doing a great job of keeping everyone afraid and having everyone in the world ask that question: should I go to the street? Should I go to the protest?
Right.
And you know, I believe that hopefully this will not happen, but I believe that it will possibly and could possibly have a chill, you know, an effect on chilling dissent, which is bubbling and bubbling. And as everyone comes back from their August breaks, I do think we're going to see far more in the street protests than we have seen before. So I guess we'll all just stay tuned.
I think so.
Well, I certainly hope that you're right. And I certainly have enjoyed your show this afternoon. I'm a new caller, and you have a lot of good things to say and a lot to contribute.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for calling in. It's good to talk with you.
Yeah.
You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was nice.
Now that makes me want to go to West Virginia.
You see, and people get painted with that broad brush. Not all of West Virginia is what you see at Trump's rallies when he goes there.
In fact, West Virginia, you know, I have a good friend whose family was from West Virginia, and she was, you know, the family was brought up in the company town where the coal mine owned everything, including the grocery store and your house and everything. And you basically were just a slave in the coal mine.
Yep.
Company coal mine, and then you'd be in debt and to the company, and then you'd have to work it off, and you know, there was a revolt and the Battle of Blair Mountain and all that stuff happened up in West Virginia.
Yeah, but so Donald Trump is bringing back the coal mines and the coal jobs. He really, in every sense, he wants to take us backwards. That's the really frightening thing. So, Giuliana Forlano, in the minute or so we have left, how do you keep from being scared? Because this is what's been paralyzing me lately.
Well, that's the thing. This is what the thing that really helped. I mean, I'm not going to say everyone should go to see Michael Moore's movie, but doing things like listening to your show, doing things like interacting with other people who are sane and like-minded, and be reminded that, you know, these are very, very troubling times, and there is a possibility for redemption here, I do think. And I think, you know, I don't want to sound too much like a politician, but I do have trust in the mainstream of the American political body that even if you believe in trickle-down economics, you might not be a complete Nazi. So I think hopefully some Republicans will also start talking to their elected officials about saying, no, I'm not so sure I want a Nazi.
The Jennifer Rubins of the world. I've become a fan of some people who are Republicans who I never would have, you know, given a second thought to before. So maybe there'll be a softening of the discourse amongst reasonable people. And we can get rid of the dumps of the world.
You're doing us, I always say, Nicole, you're doing us a service. So there's a place where we can come and listen and talk and hear people chat. This is a big service, especially now. So thank you for your show.
Well, thank you, Giuliana Forlano. In 20 seconds, ACT TV, what's coming up?
ACT TV, coming up, I am doing this piece on the EPA and how they're working in secret. We are going to be covering a lot of the protests from New York City, and I'm going to be your on-the-ground
correspondent. All right, and we'll have it all here.
Watch for that.
Thank you so much, Giuliana Forlano. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, and we'll be back tomorrow with Howie Klein.
They say we want our America back, our America back, our America back. When they say they want our America back, what the fuck do they mean? Remember the Garden of Eden? Before Eve hung out with that snake, you could walk down the street, not worry about thieves. All the kids could go trick-or-treating. Then those foreigners started coming in, like those Germans in 1790. Then the Irish arrived, the potato blight. The neighborhood started changing. Life was better, we lived right. Life had a paler shade of white. When they say we want our America back, we want our America back. Ellis Island and that statue we got from the French, and that whore still alerting the strangers she's flirting, inviting them into our beds. The guineas, the coolies, the wetbacks, the Jews, the gays and the terrorists. And who let in that woman, looks after my kids, and the one who is cleaning my mess. Life was righteous, life was clean. Send them back, including me. When they say we want our America back, our America back, our America back. When they say we want our America back, what the fuck does it mean? Before the gays had the agenda, before the slaves were free, before that man from Kenya took the presidency. We want our America back, our America back, our America back. When they say we want our America back, what the fuck does that mean?